This is the Cross Conference cast for November 17th, 2010. Punishment is imminent. In this episode, we talk about the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, the U.S. women's national team games against Italy, the demise of FC Gold Pride, and the future of WPS. For full show notes, visit crossconference.com. Hi, this is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
And we're back. It is the 17th of November. And we had an interesting weekend of soccer. And the past few days have been filled with interesting things in soccer. though they're hard for me to talk about because everything is hard now.
Everything is the worst.
How are you, Ruth?
I'm good. I've got that numbness going on, and I ate a bag of Skittles, and so I'm ready to face the world. I don't even need alcohol.
I know, we're not drinking. I am drinking crisp water, because I don't know. I can't even be bothered to open a bottle of beer at this point.
What's crisp water?
It's just cold. Clean water.
Oh.
It's very nice water. I guess we might as well get started, and we should talk about the NCAA tournament.
Get the worst of the pain out of the way.
Oh god, it hurts so much, because I've been trying not to think about it pretty much since it happened. If I just don't think about it, then
do you want me to talk about it?
You can start. You can start and start.
Okay. So we must have, when did we record? Did we record before or after they set the field? I think we recorded before.
It's possible.
It doesn't matter. We're not talking about that anyways. Mm-hmm. So play started this past weekend, and we already have a number of upsets. Let's see. I have my chart right here.
Me, I'm upset.
And we'll start on the side of the bracket that doesn't hurt as much. Number one seed Maryland was knocked out in penalty kicks. Georgetown advances. And I don't know if that was surprising. I was kind of hoping that Maryland would keep going, just because they're close, and that would mean that I'd get to see a game in the quarterfinals. But now I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting to me because when I filled out my bracket, I had them going pretty far. I won't say exactly how far because it's really bumming me out. But they're my alma mater, and I thought this was really going to be their year to show their stuff.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I didn't care for them during the regular season. I mean, I didn't hate them, but I didn't care one way or another. But then they got the number one seed, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool. Let's watch them plow right through." And they didn't.
Yeah, they crapped out. no, they lost on PKs, which has happened a lot in the second round. Like 5 times. 5 times in the second round, the games went to PKs. Yeah, but now Georgetown is going to meet Minnesota.
In Minnesota, I think.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Georgetown. Well, I mean, those kids must have, I mean, even if they weren't playing during the massive snowstorm that hit last year in DC, I'm sure they're used to the cold. They can handle it.
Yeah, but Minnesota's a different kind of cold. And that that's a on the other side of that part of that quarter of the bracket is Ohio State and Virginia. Which means one of
Virginia
those,
needs to win.
yeah, one of those teams is going to make it to the Final Four. And that's going to be
Virginia.
you, yeah. Well,
It has to
it's
be.
highly probable that it will be Virginia, but it could very well be Georgetown. And that'll be very interesting because I think it should be the first time for any of those teams.
I think so. But I'm really hoping it's Virginia or Georgetown. Just, I like the Big Ten, but I hate Ohio State. So it's got to be Georgetown or Virginia. And I think Virginia's got the chops this year.
And I guess
Shall we
in
travel south?
the lower right-hand corner, let's see, Notre Dame and North Carolina are going to meet at North Carolina. Notre Dame has been posting up some very nice results that from what I can see, two shutouts so far over the weekend. Not incredibly stiff competition, but they, as you said, they are starting to look like the Notre Dame of old.
Yeah, I was really surprised actually. I mean, I don't know much about New Mexico, and I didn't watch that game, but I watched the game against USC, and I was shocked. I mean, and I've watched a few Notre Dame games this year, and it looked like a very different team, and I wasn't expecting a shutout, but they got it. And it was really good. It was really good to see. And I'm hoping that they just don't break my heart too badly, in this next round. Because I don't see Duke or Oklahoma State, beating UNC.
Yeah, I would definitely give the advantage to UNC over both those teams. So on the other side of the bracket, Stanford has been doing well, of course, rolling right along. Lots of shots for them. And they, of course, they won at home over Sacramento State, and then Santa Clara, unfortunately, who managed to pull a goal back, so they Stanford won 2-1, and they will face UCLA,
And beat them because we said so.
and beat them. I don't see that being too incredibly difficult for Stanford. UCLA usually has a lot of talent, but they don't necessarily have the kind of pluck that a Florida State has. Florida State will put up some interesting results against sides that maybe should beat them. I mean, so far in the tournament, they've beaten the teams they've faced and done fine. Middle Tennessee and South Florida. And now they'll face Marquette. Marquette has a nice record, but I see Florida State being in a different class than them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Marquette and Wisconsin, in the previous round, they went to penalty kicks. So, yeah, I mean, Marquette's a decent team, but I don't think they'll beat Florida State.
Yeah, so we'll
And
see. Oh, no,
oh,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say UCLA. I don't know. That just they surprised me a lot by getting past BYU and then getting past UCF to play Stanford. Like I think BYU is a really good team, and Yeah, that was that just that sucked. I think that was a penalty kick game too.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was.
So Stanford, Florida State in the quarterfinals.
And I, well, I can see a possibility that Florida State could pull off an upset. I would give it to Stanford over them. It's within Florida State to pull off an upset, but I don't know that it's going to happen.
It would make the Final Four so boring.
It would. And as we get to the bottom of the lower left side of the bracket, Boston College and West Virginia are going to meet. Boston College putting up some nicer results after the bumpy flight they were having near the end of the season. And West Virginia just being West Virginia.
Ugh, at West Virginia.
Just West Virginia-ing all over the place.
West Virginia-ing my heart out. It's just, ugh. I don't know.
Oh, I shouldn't hold their West Virginia-ness against them, but
Why not?
I mean it.
I watched a documentary on West Virginia the other day,
What
and I
did
was
you do
like,
that for?
because I was drinking.
Like
And I was
watching a
bored.
documentary on Eileen Wuornos. Sorry.
You know, because like sometimes I'll sit and read the crime library. It was like that, except I
Oh,
didn't feel like reading. I just.
I see. Okay. So as we get to the next third round game, UC Irvine, yeah, my Anteaters, have
In their first tournament.
in their first tournament, they're just knocking them out left and right.
And they didn't beat nobodies. Like they
Yeah.
beat Arizona State out of the Pac-10. They beat Wake Forest, who won the ACC this year. Not
Who was
that
seeded as
yeah,
well,
that
fourth
but
seed.
you know, the ACC tournament, you know, it lost its integrity this year, so clearly this is just a sign. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
they won the integrity-less ACC championship. So clearly it was, not that big of a
Clearly.
win for UC Irvine to shut them out. My favorite player, Lonnie or Lanny Amok or Amek.
LA.
LA, as we like to call her. I don't think she's played this season. I suppose I could look through every single minute of their games, but I like to think she's really the support off the bench, really encouraging the rest
Those
of the Anteaters.
intangibles that you find in
And
basketball.
exactly, the intangibles. That's what she provides, and that's why she's my favorite player, not because I randomly chose her from a list. Now that I'm happy, I guess we can discuss Portland, who
You want me
played
to?
Washington. I can do it. I can do it. Let me go back
Okay.
to our notes and I will go point by point. I watched the game against Washington. And I watched the game against UT San Antonio for Portland. And that was, I mean, well, as much as you could watch that game, it was completely blanketed in fog. Could barely see anything. Though the commentary was nice because it was by their assistant sports director, Adam Lindman, accompanied by Megan Sweeney, a former Portland defender, who's delightful always. And that's a point we'll get back to now that we are discussing the Portland Washington game. That was hard. Portland. Okay, so Portland and Washington played to a 1-1 tie, went to double overtime, and then Washington eventually overcame them in penalty kicks. So Washington won at Merlot Field, I think maybe for the first time ever. And that was hard. The struggles that Portland have had since the beginning of the season, when I talked about them not scoring, same problem here. In this game, they they played a really dominant game and really pressured Washington, who survived all the pressure because Portland couldn't finish. Washington scored an interesting goal, pretty smart goal. And then 10 seconds later, literally 10 seconds later, Portland scored from Sophie Schmidt. Danielle Foxhoven kind of penetrated the line and just gave the ball to Sophie Schmidt. And while watching it, I was like, they're not going to let her just walk right through them, right? They're not going to let her do that, right? And they did. They just let Sophie Schmidt kind of walk the ball right into the back of their net. And it made me feel better. But of course, they didn't score again. And that really hurt. And I don't know who is exactly to blame, but I made a list. Well, I guess talking specifically about the game, it looked like the freshmen were not necessarily out of sorts, but they weren't on the same level as the seniors were. That I think a little bit of the pressure was getting to them. And normally I trust Garrett Smith's decisions. So, but and so maybe there was an injury behind that, but who knows? I mean, it didn't stop Portland from playing a really great game. They just didn't score. They didn't let Washington control too much of the pace. And then the next person whose fault it might be is me, because let hear me out. I skipped church this Sunday because I went to my friends came down for the weekend and they went to the dog park and I walked with them it through the dog park. And
Did
so
you
I
have a
missed.
dog at least?
No, they had the dogs. And I walk and I don't get to see my friends that often, so I was like, okay, I can skip church, forgetting that there was a Portland game.
Oof.
And I think maybe the Lord punished me for that, despite the fact that I don't believe in a God that does that sort of thing. This is what happened in the 2005 final, was that our mutual friend Beth said, "What if God punishes you for skipping church with a Portland loss?" And that really got to me. So I did not skip church that Sunday, and Portland won 4-0.
I think you
So
need to keep in mind, though, that Portland's a Catholic university,
it
and so you
doesn't
have to
matter.
play by the rules of the Catholic God.
That, oh.
Punishment is imminent.
Oh, you were right. I wonder what Kelsey Davis would say about her theology here, but I'm sorry for any responsibility that lays on me. If I mean, maybe it was a combined thing where other people skip church too, to go to that Portland game, and the other person's fault or not. I don't know who's responsible for not having Megan Sweeney be the assistant commentator of that game. It was just Adam Lindman, and I was like, no, this is different. You can't mess with the chemistry. You can't mess with whatever's working. For someone who's not superstitious in their life, I'm kind of incredibly superstitious about games when I watch them. And teams that I support. Like if I'm doing something, if I'm sitting a certain way and the team's playing well, I'm not going to move from that position.
No,
Like,
I totally understand. Like I can be completely rational and I don't like until recently didn't have like little things that I'd keep repeating, but man, you get and it's just the college season. I have to do things just so. And it probably drives some people crazy. But
yeah.
you know, it's the college teams. That's real, that's serious business, guys.
It is. You can't mess around too much, and I think that's maybe there was too much messing around from my end and from other people's end regarding the commentary. So I mean the blame can be spread around. for Portland losing.
The
But I
funny thing
mean,
is, I find that Santa Clara does better now that I'm not going to church regularly.
maybe they're heathens. Anyway, this hurts because Portland has not reached a Final Four since 2005. It's been too long for me. It's hurt too much. They finally got to host the first round, and this is what happens. They fall out in the second. It's awful. Yeah. So Washington advances and they're gonna lose to UC Irvine because my anteaters are gonna crush them.
And I really hope so too. Like, nothing against Washington. I don't feel particularly one way or another, but UCI's got a really nice run here.
Yeah, wouldn't it be magical, Cinderella-esque, and just give you a lot of good feelings? It'll be nice for ESPN to be like, in their first final tournament and Final Four appearance, blah, 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 etc. And,
And they'll run up against Stanford.
yeah.
Yeah.
Which you never know.
Oh, Stanford, do not lose to UCLA.
Can't.
I can't take another year of UCLA in the Final Four. Ugh. And I don't know how I feel about Boston College going to the Final Four. I'm still ticked at them for getting complacent during the season. Children, you have to work for good things.
get to work. In terms of other teams that we're watching, Ruth, or we were watching, I know you had some thoughts about Alex Morgan and Cal. So what are those thoughts?
Well, it's so frustrating. I mean, this is like the third year in a row that California has been sent out to play out east. They had to play against Duke in Florida at Gainesville, and they were leading, and then Duke got two goals in quick succession, and Cal was out in the first round. Which I don't know. I feel like those were two closely matched teams. And California should have been able to stick it out. And Alex Morgan was there. But I don't know. Frustrating. Frustrating stuff from the Bears this year. And our. Huh?
Sorry, no, keep going.
I was just gonna mention, like, I mean, I know I'm frustrated, so it's gotta be really bad for people that are longtime fans of them. We have a mutual friend that's a alum of California, and yeah, man, that sucks going out in the first round. As a Santa Clara fan, I
Yeah. But and that really sucks for Alex Morgan's senior year. I know
what little of it
my
she played.
yeah, what little of it she got to play. I know my heart kind of broke for Sophie Schmidt, who missed the entire WC season. WCC.
West Coast Conference.
Yeah. Who missed the entire conference season.
SEC.
No. And then in her second game, she scores, but then, they fall out of the tournament. It's kind of awful because I feel like I haven't seen very much of Sophie Schmidt. Like, I know how good she is, but for Portland, I feel like I haven't seen that much of her. Even though I'm
Even though you
sure I've
saw her
seen a
with
lot.
Canada the whole time.
Yeah, I feel like I saw her with Canada mostly the whole time. Anyway, though in other WCC thoughts, the coach of St. Mary's is on Twitter. He's very active on Twitter, and hi to him if he's listening, because it's very interesting. And I I noticed that that St. Mary's has videos up on their on YouTube of the coach talking and some of the players talking. And I was really impressed by one in particular of the goalkeeper, the senior goalkeeper of their talking about their last game against Portland, which was a 1-1 tie. And if you haven't seen it, you probably haven't if you're listening, because I don't know. I mean, maybe you have, but it's really kind of moving in a way to see how much she cares about her school and her team. And I sort of felt like I take it for granted that Portland wins a lot. And she was excited about them holding their own against the number two team in the country, as well as having a winning record this season. And that must be a really amazing feeling to have started out maybe with you kind of got the salad days going on, and then you in your last year you achieve something really significant for your team. And I know you posted it to your Tumblr, Ruth, so you must have enjoyed it.
Oh yeah. I mean not because it was a tie for Portland, but just like that level of success that a lot of people aren't going to recognize as success. Like that's just as incredible as, I mean, it's like Mexico beating the US but then not managing to win CONCACAF overall. Like that's still major success. Like you held your own against like one of the top teams. And Portland has been killer. And it's I think it's probably pretty hard to go up against a top team that consistently dominates your conference. Like you see them every year and they dominate every year, even if they're not dominating on a national level. And so for a senior to get to finally experience something like that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I forgot to give credit to Washington's incredible goalkeeper, who was just, she's standing on her head, and it's just insane for Washington, making incredible saves on those PKs.
How many
Just
rounds
pretty
of
smart.
penalty kicks?
2 rounds of 5, I think, and then in the middle of the third round. I get that was sudden death penalty kicks. Which I don't know
I
why
don't
they
think
just
any of the others went to that.
yeah, there were a lot of penalty kicks. which made for like we were gonna record before like I was okay for recording even if Portland had lost, but like I think at the second round of penalty kicks, I was like, oh God, no, I can't do it. I have too much anxiety. I'm going to be too tired. Anyway, speaking of tired, let's take a little break. Come back. We'll talk about the U.S. Women's National Team and their series against Italy and the new players they brought in. So, we'll be right
Yay!
back. We'll be right back with a cross conference cast. This is
grown-ups told me don't hurry through your years, cause when you're grown you got insecurities and fears, and when you're grown you got all the worries and the cares in the world, and the world seems dirty and unfair. I was unprepared, it's really kind of funny. I thought I would be rich by the time I was 20. Now I'm trying to find a meal to put inside of my tummy, and my child is the only thing they can never take from me. Drawing cartoons, superheroes with pencils, watching all the dope Nickelodeon kids shows. Legends of the Hidden Temple was the jam. I like Doug, but damn, Kenan and Kel was the man. Now I know why they told me what they told me way back when. We was kids, cause we won't ever be innocent again. But now I'm a man, though I still could recall back. I'm missing the days when it was fat, and it was all that.
And we're back with the cross conference cast. I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And the U.S. Women's National Team is in Italy right now, preparing for their game in just a few days against Italy to in order to hopefully earn a World Cup berth. I don't believe that the US women have ever won against Italy in Italy. So this is quite a tall order. The stats are against them. But we know about stats, don't we?
Oh yes, Hope Solo says that they don't mean anything.
Right. And she also says that appearances are just appearances. So, yeah.
That's deep, man.
I don't
Save
know.
the geese.
Yeah. I don't know what. I'm sure the US women are very motivated. I don't know that they've made the necessary ch I don't know how you can make the necessary changes without really cracking the egg. And just
Well, they did make some changes. How about we skip over the fact that the changes don't mean anything? They made some changes in the midfield. They brought in Leslie Osborne, just like Dr. Boss said they should. Woo, go, Dr. Boss.
And we said, yeah, I bet we can, I can even cue up the part where we solve the problem of the US women's national team by bringing in Lindsay Osborne. She suggested it, we agreed, and that should have
We would have done it
happened.
sooner.
We would have done it much sooner. Yes.
Although she was injured.
That's true. But you know what? Other injured players have been brought in.
Tobin
I don't
Heat.
know. I wasn't going to name names, but you
I
know.
have no problem with it. Ashlyn
But
Harris.
yeah, and people recovering from injuries as well. Anyway,
People recovering from
yeah,
age.
they brought in Osborne, and who else did they bring in?
Lindsay Tarpley and Christina DiMartino.
Now you're a Christina DiMartino fan,
Yeah.
how do you feel about that call up?
I feel like it's
Is it
amazing, and they probably won't have a cape in her size, and that will be a detriment to her. But she will power through like the little Energizer bunny that we know she is. And she's a ninja out there. She's gonna thrash them.
She's Italian.
Yeah.
So I think that that's going to play a factor. Can't hurt, can't hurt.
They totally should have called up Gina as well. Maybe Vicky.
Yeah, all of them. Get them all in there. Yeah, so those were those weren't necessarily changes so much as additions because Pia didn't take anybody away. Which at this point would be kind of dumb. Like if you're playing such a short turnaround, it'd be dumb to say like, okay, we're getting rid of this person that you probably like. So, you know, deal with it, model through it. I don't know. Osborne's a really good choice. Tarpley is a confusing choice. I mean, in terms of leadership, good. If she is placed in the if she's put in the right place. And normally I would say P is smart enough to put her in the right place, but who knows? Who knows what how p smart P is at this point.
At the very least, Tarpley can cool the
She can.
lattes.
Yeah, and I mean DiMartino is obviously going to be on the wings. That's where she's always played. It's been very she's been very effective there for every team she's played for.
If she gets minutes,
If she gets minutes, should she get minutes?
which she better?
Yeah. And it who would you see DiMartino replacing either? Do you think she's a starter?
I think she's as good as any of the starters that Pia's been using. That's not saying much, but yeah. Yeah, she could
And
start.
in place of like Rapinoe or because that would be the she usually plays on the right, correct? Well, no, she plays on the left a lot too.
Are you moving your mic?
No, there's a fly. I'm sorry. Continue.
There's like
She
this weird change in volume.
Yeah, sorry. She plays on the I remember her seemingly playing on the right in no, playing on the left in college, but then having to switch over to the right sometimes.
A girl can
Correct
play
me
the
if
whole field.
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't stick her on defense, but like, if no one else is working, she will run the whole field the whole time.
I guess the concerns with her is her size, and the physicality of the international game, which with this US team is being like it's a significant factor. Like that's one of their cards that they play is the physical
I
bit.
think DeMartino can definitely take a hit better than quite a few players that have been on the roster regularly now.
Taking the hit is not so much as dishing it out, I
Oh,
think.
well, and she's a player that I think doesn't need to. Like she is quick enough and savvy enough to not need to dish it out. I think even more so than Alex Morgan.
I can see that. Though, as far as this being a solution to anything, it makes me wonder what's going on with the defense, and if these three are they actually going to be given a chance to break into the team, to the starting 11 even. And I don't know. I think Tarpley can replace a Lloyd. Certainly.
I think Tobin Heath could.
Well, I think what Lloyd brings, you can certainly get, I think is possible to get from other players, and what Tarpley has really makes up for what Lloyd is lacks.
You think
I
they might
feel like this is
play,
just beat up on Carly Lloyd podcast, but she's a nice girl. She just frustrates me.
We do tend to mock those that we like but find frustrating. Do you think
So,
that they might play less in the back?
what do you mean, play less in the back?
Okay, wait, let me rephrase that. Do you think that they might play Leslie Osborne in the back?
Oh.
Please edit that out.
No, I don't think that Leslie Osborne is your center back option. I see her as defensive midfielder, holding midfielder. I remember there was one time that she and Shannon Box played together, and that seemed to be a pretty effective tandem there in a way. Though I wonder if that's getting once again towards the more physical side. With Shannon Box sort of not being the player that she normally can be, I just don't wonder if Leslie Osborne is a replacement. We'll see. We'll see how the team takes shape or whatever.
Everything
It's
is so
interesting.
uncertain. It's like
Yeah, it really is. It's very concerning. I like those additions. There's nothing I don't like about that. Yeah.
which is a first because I'm with you there. Like DeMartino, Osborne, and Tarpley, those are great call-ups. Why weren't they made sooner?
Because Pia had her team since before spring. That's the team that she had already decided. She wasn't going to change her mind. Didn't matter who broke their ankle or whatnot. I think we see a stark contrast in the women's development from the men's development. There was a game against the US men played against South Africa in South Africa. And those players, I think the player with the most caps was 35, 35 caps.
Wow.
And then
Compared
a lot
to
of,
Christine Lilly's 300 some?
yeah. And you know, they went and beat South Africa. And I got to see the goal. I went home for lunch and I got to see it. And I it felt really awesome. I was like, oh wow, this is such a great moment. I'm like, yeah, US soccer fans. And then I realized that it was a it was a wonderful moment for the United States of America beating a South African team, like an African. It's like, oh, should I feel guilty? Like, is this a hegemony thing? I don't know. Anyway, those were, you know, developmental players. The player who scored the game-winning goal was 17. 17.
And it was his first cap, and it was the first cap for a couple of those guys.
Yeah, it's and it, you would never see that on the women's national team, the full team. Never, ever. Never, ever.
Because when
And
was the Men's World Cup?
this year.
Oh, goodness. And they already have new players.
Yes. I think there are a lot of different factors going into that, and I think that there's a lot of pressure to play the big names, and the men can get big nick can don't necessarily have that pressure because there's other places they can play, but for a long time it was just the women's national team, and who knows, we'll talk about this later, eventually it could once again just be the women's national team that plays and develops these players.
Or doesn't play and doesn't develop these players.
Indeed. I don't know. I think we can have more things to say about this particular team and their chances for a World Cup once they come swing around stateside, which we that conversation might include special guests, which I'm excited about. More on that later, but we'll see about that. Do you have any other thoughts about?
Are you going to be watching those games?
I'll obviously work on match tracker for the Italy game. We'll see about the game in Chicago,
You going to
which
make me watch those games?
you don't have to if you don't want to. Yeah, U.S. women. I mean, the with these additions in the midfield, obviously messing with the back line too much isn't that great. But you know, not everything's not hunky dory there. Everything's not necessarily hunky dory in the front line either. The forwards, you know, who knows? We'll see. We'll see. And it, at least you were right, and it makes a more interesting story. It makes a heck of a lot more interesting story.
And they're
I
getting coverage
think,
now.
yeah, they are getting coverage. I have to say the risks or the I'm sorry the lows should they end up low would be a lot lower than the highs would be high. Should this end up, you know, nicer for the US women? But time will tell. So let's take a little break and we'll come back with WPS talk. So we'll be right back with a cross conference cast. We're back with the cross conference cast. I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And we need to talk about the WPS.
We need to.
We need to. So the news broke before that there were some problems getting investors for FC Gold Pride and the Washington Freedom. And now it turns out Washington Freedom, A-OK, FC Gold Pride, folding.
They folded, didn't, gone.
They didn't folded, gone. So they are now past tense. They didn't get the investors they needed. And I have to say, in terms of teams folding, this has been the best. they keep getting better. Gotta hand it to the WPS. The teams folding have been, LA Soul, it was like one day they're there, the next day they're not. St. Louis was, okay, you get a week to wonder, but no, we're really folding in the middle of the season. This time, you get several months worth of warning and a couple weeks worth of you get a couple weeks of warning and several months to know that, that team's not going to be there. How do you feel? You're the FC Gold Pride fan. So, like, seriously, how is this for you?
It sucks. I mean, that was an amazing team. It had a lot of players that I really liked, especially this past season. Since the draft onward, like, I couldn't stop gushing about our rookies. It's a startup pro league, and I'm not like you, which is not a bad thing, but I have favorite teams and I am devoted to certain teams, but I have no problem picking up extras like strays, just adopt another team. And fortunately I moved out of the Midwest, back to the Philly area, and Philadelphia is my local team. And it's actually a team that I like, which is good, because my local teams back in this area used to be Jersey or DC, and I'm not like particularly fond of either of those. But yeah, I mean, getting the news was lousy, but it's kind of like you got to roll with the punches, and yeah, it hurts and you take the hit, but. And maybe it helps that it's in the middle of college soccer season. So, like, emotionally, I'm invested elsewhere. Especially since it's tournament time right now. That makes it a little easier to handle. I know it's easier for me because I'm not a Bay Area fan that lives in the Bay. That's gotta suck. I mean, there's nothing out there anymore. We got Western New York, we still have a league next year, it's something that I can pay attention to during the summer, other than just the World Cup. So.
Yeah, and it's definitely a survivable loss for the WPS, like, it's clear they can go on without FC Gold Pride. But I think to lose the Washington Freedom, that would have been harder to take, because that's a team that's been around for a really long time. And it means a lot to the area. It means a lot to women's soccer in the United States. That would have been, I think, the death knell in a way for the WPS if they lose DC. Of course, not everyone's out of the woods now. Chicago has been given another extension. I think they're having some investor problems, and from what I read on the fake Ziggy Schmid blog, they've been close to getting investors, but every time there's been like outside issues, the St. Louis folding and now at FC Gold Pride. so it doesn't look good to the people that, you know, they're getting close to getting that confirmation from. And then, you know, rumors and then actual foldings, they don't help the other teams. But we do have that one expansion team for sure. Western New York. They're not going to be Buffalo anymore. It's going to be the Western New York Flash. Yep.
Their fans are going to wear beads to the game.
It's hard not to make boob jokes, but we're not going to go there. We are not going there.
Nope. We'll wait until their pink game.
Mm-hmm. are they having an expansion draft? They're only going to take a couple players? Or no, there's not going to be a draft, but they're going to only take up a couple players. Western New York is a nice area to get local players. Even if they're not Abby Wambach. they're close to the other teams, and there's the DeMartinos that come from the New York area.
Allie Long, Rebecca Moros, Lorraine Quinn, Brittany Taylor.
She is
from New York. Booyah.
That could be very, very promising for them. Of course, I mean, on the world scale, there's a question of where's MARTA going to end up?
Brazil.
We have Brazil, right? Or Sweden again. Would be a good guess, because it doesn't seem like anybody can afford her. Not that they're saying that she's the reason two teams have folded, but she hasn't been the reason that two teams stay afloat, you know? It's really unfortunate. She is the world's best player. I think the WPS has the potential to be the world's best league in a short amount of time, comparatively. So to see that she has to leave is very sad. I've gotten to see her play, and that's been really exciting. Like, legitimately exciting. Like, I know I'm very low-key, but it is exciting to watch MARTA play. You know, there will be a 2011 season. We have that. We, as a podcast, God willing, will stick around to talk about it. I pray that Chicago will still be around, because I really like them. I think, you know, everything except for the W column is going well for them. I mean, their front office is great. They have decent fan support. They have really great branding. I mean, it's only going to take a couple, you know, nice breaks for them, and I think they could be just overall the best part of the WPS in all facets. Those are my thoughts. What are you thinking?
I agree. I think it would. I mean, Chicago's not my team. And I have no problem saying that I don't like some of your teams, obviously. But, oh man, how much would it suck if we lost Chicago? They've been like the leader in the media aspect of the league, and we've been talking about them since January of 2009. I distinctly remember being on the phone with you pretty soon after the draft, and just talking about how jealous I was of Chicago. But you know, it would be really terrible to lose that fan base and to lose that organization and that team. Yeah, I think they just need time to get established, and someone needs to give them that chance, because the wins will start coming eventually. Eventually, they'll figure out what it is that they need, because they've got it going in every other area, and they're too smart not to. So, I really want Chicago to survive.
Yeah. Thank you for your nice thoughts on Chicago. They have really great fan involvement. The fans are very engaged online, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, and that's the kind of thing that the league can continue to take advantage of. I know there's some talk about how, you know, it's not the online fan base that's going to bring in the money, and, you know, and everyone's cutting down their marketing. Like the league is cutting down their marketing, and individual teams are downsizing. And there's just, it seems like there's a mixed message in keeping the current fans involved and growing the base. And I was thinking a couple weeks ago during the WPS chat on Twitter, there was a lot of talk about, well, what can the fans do? What can we do to help advertise and, you know, and to help save our teams? Because at this point, FC Gold Pride hadn't folded, and there wasn't really any talk about Chicago, but DC was still being talked about. And then I was involved in this thread that had to do with gear and possibly like media kits and stuff, like just some way for the fans to produce something to help advertise the league, since, you know, there's not a marketing component as much anymore. And I got to thinking actually yesterday, because I was complaining about Connecticut Sun. And a few years ago, WNBA did this t-shirt design contest, and the fans could submit designs. And then they were voted on, and the winner would, the design would be made. And some of these actually turned out pretty well. It'd be really cool if, I think if WPS did something like that, and maybe not necessarily in apparel, although that would be great because, some of their apparel sucks. But, like, if they could do something like that with you know, like, a poster design contest or just something along those lines, like, that would be pretty cool. And I think there are a lot of graphics people in the online fan community that WPS already has that, you know, you can get free cool design work that way. You have to make the tools available, well, or at least the content available, the images available, and provide the structured incentive, and that could be pretty neat.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like the street team angle that was, you know, they were that, like, musicians and stuff and bands were working in the early 2000s. They were pushing that pretty hard. I don't know that they do that anymore. But I mean, I can see how they relate. Yeah, I mean, I would enjoy that. Though,
like the national team,
I would,
like,
mostly be mocking them. I would. I mean, let's be honest. But yeah,
the national team gets a yearbook every year, and you know, there was, I don't know if there have been recently, but there have been calendars in the past and whatever. Like there are these products out there that, you know, the WPS doesn't have, so. Why not let the fans make their own, you know, like, get past that copyright issue and let the fans start creating something for their teams. Like, if you're not going to do it, let us do it.
Yeah, for sure. And in a way we are doing it right now.
But I want to do more
of our podcast. Yeah. And it, I mean, they should take, definitely should take advantage of the fact that they're, you know, it, what, I believe, Clay Shirky terms the cognitive surplus, of people, you know, using their time to create things that, you know, it's insane that what people are willing to do with their time, like, and not get paid for it.
Like this podcast.
Yeah, like this podcast that I just keep pouring money into. And they're doing it for, you know, what Kelsey Davis and Rachel Rapino term the love. you know, it's because we really do enjoy this sport. We appreciate it. We want it to grow, and we want other people to like it, and think it's not like a cause sort of thing, just sort of like, you know, this is a really cool thing, and I'm really into it in an unironic way. So it's worth hanging on to, and I think it's worth a WPS investors and potential investors looking into.
Like, we really like that it has hipster cred to it. Like, you know, oh, you've never heard of this league. Well, it's my favorite league, but it'd be really nice if it could be bigger than that, if they could, you know, at least sustain themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So on that unthrilling note,
we need a new mystery.
Yes, we do. Okay. We've solved several mysteries. We've solved the Carrie Hanks mystery. We have solved the Rachel Rapino mystery. We have solved the Taylor Knack mystery. We have solved love. We need another one. Please, if you're wondering, where did this player go? Or, you know, what's this on my arm? Let us know. crossconference@gmail.com. We love getting email. I think we should take reader email. We can read them on the air and answer those questions. Mysteries to solve. That's what we need. We need a challenge. You need to challenge us. And we're also working on hopefully eventually taking calls, but we'll see about that. And you leave a message and we will discuss your call, your issue.
Yeah, not live ones, because those are tricky.
Yeah, they're getting really hard. But yeah, we have a lot of exciting things coming down the pipes. A redesign, FYI, etc. Spoiler alert.
Lots of shiny colors.
Lots of things. Lots of wonderful things. And I'm hoping that the WPS stays to see it. To see all the exciting things we're doing for them. Yeah. anyway, so let's get out of here.
Yeah. In the immortal words of Tina.
Yeah. We're done. Thanks for listening. For notes on this episode, including a list of the songs we play, please visit crossconference.com. If you have thoughts about the show, you can email them to crossconference@gmail.com. If you've rated our show in iTunes, thank you so much. If you haven't, please do if you get a chance. It's a nice way to help us get new listeners.